All right, this is my first thing to do after getting back from the airport. Las Vegas was fun. Las Vegas is typically most fun, in my opinion, when you're there for a short period of time. And I was just there for the game. I flew in, went straight from the airport to Allegiant Stadium last night, saw the 49ers and the Raiders tie. Then I worked really hard, didn't get to the hotel room until after midnight, and I woke up this morning, tried to get a little earlier flight, but I was just a little too late for the earlier flight, so I stuck on the originally planned 10:39 a.m. Made it back to San Francisco, and now it's time for a 53-man roster projection. Good thing that Matt Barrows and I already wrote the roster projection last night. Now I can talk about a roster projection in video form. If you want to go check it out on The Athletic along with some of the graphics and everything that we've provided, then you can go ahead and do so by clicking on the link in the description. But this is going to be one of those combined shows where we can combine notes from yesterday's game, because I watched the tape this morning at the United Club and the airport. I had a little extra time over in Las Vegas, and I could combine the tape with the projection and the context for the projection, which is going to take effect by Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. At that time, all teams must cut from 90 men to 53 men on their rosters, and it's not all going to happen at once. I would think that over the course of the next few days, the 49ers will make transactions here and there. There might be a bulk of transactions that happens at one time, maybe on Tuesday, but if the 49ers go about this the way that I expect them to, and there's going to be a lot of injuries and different roster machinations and different mechanisms they're going to have to use to fit under the 53-man limit, then I expect them to have to do this over the course of several days. So I have this sheet. This is updated right now. We wrote the Athletic 53-man projection with this sheet as our big reference point. There were a lot of hard decisions to make, and what I can do is go through this position by position so that we also cover what happened in the third and final preseason game, the riveting tie against the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium. If you go and check out the chat section, then I have just posted the link to this in the chat section. You could see it at the bottom of the screen. I don't think that you could click on that link at the bottom of the video window, but I do think you go into the chat section and go and check it out. So the big question is, Brock Purdy going to make the 49ers 53-man roster? Drum roll. I'm not sure. It's going to be close. I think he is. Okay, let's spoiler alert. Let's get done with the drama and start talking about real football. I'm making a joke. This is a reference to what I put into the title. Will Brock Purdy make the 49ers 53-man cut? Yes, he's going to make the 53-man cut. Brock Purdy looked excellent last night. I'm not sure that he made a single mistake in the game last night. He had the throw tipped early on, and that was on third and long. That was after Braden Willis missed a block to put the 49ers behind the chains, and then they weren't able to get out of the third and long. So there's a tip at the line of scrimmage. And the interception was a throw that clanged off of Deebo Samuel, went up into the air, was picked off by the Raiders. Purdy actually even made the tackle on the play, which I'm sure the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan didn't want to see him do. I mean, they didn't want to see their quarterback exposed to any hits or have to tackle somebody in the open field. But it was still a nice athletic job from Brock Purdy on that play, and I do think that he escaped without injury, unless we hear otherwise from Kyle Shanahan later on. That'd be terrible news for the 49ers. Don't worry. I don't think that's about to happen. But Purdy, those are the two plays that didn't really go the 49ers' way. And then there's the sack where the left side of the offensive line broke down in protection. That was between Jalen Moore and Nick Zakel, two replacement players at left tackle and left guard, respectively. But outside of those plays, which, you know, we outlined weren't Brock Purdy's fault. Those were two tips and a sack that was on his offensive line. He made some fantastic throws, the best of which was that layered throw to George Kittle. There's been some talk on the internet, oh, Purdy got lucky. It's like, this is my problem with the Purdy analysis that I see. People don't actually watch him. If you actually watched Brock Purdy last year, then you would see that he made that throw very consistently. That is a staple of the 49ers offense, over the linebacker, in front of the safety. You're finding that hole in the middle of the field. The offense This is what Kyle Shanahan tries to dictate, takes advantage of the gap in the middle of the field. And sometimes that gap is small and it's very hard to hit. And it takes a layered throw, again, over the second level of the defense in front of the third level of the defense. And Brock Purdy has consistently executed it. In fact, he has the highest yards per attempt. So he's been the most efficient quarterback in documented NFL history, which goes back over two decades, on throws that travel between 10 and 20 yards downfield. And he's especially good on those throws in between the hash marks, which means that he's especially good targeting and attacking the middle of the field. And there are several benefits to that, because that's where you set up the most yards after the catch. It's what you want to do in a league where the tackling isn't as good as it has been, right? The defenses have gotten smaller. The rules have changed in training camp. Guys don't get to work on their tackling as much as they did in the past. It's a more offensively driven league. It makes complete sense to attack the middle of the field to set your receivers up in an area where they can't just get pushed out of bounds. And Brock Purdy has masterfully attacked that level of the field. He did it yesterday on the third down throw to George Kittle as he was getting drilled. There was one pressure given up by Dominic Pooney, who had a really good preseason, but he got crossed up on the stunt on that third and six, got pushed back into Purdy. So Purdy got hit, but he was still able to make that throw over the linebacker in front of the safety to George Kittle. Even when he was pressured by the defensive end rolling out, he was able to make a sidearm three-quarters release throw to Chris Conley. With a clean pocket to open the game, Brock Purdy hit Deebo Samuel deep for a 27-yard pickup. So we saw a quarterback in command. We saw a quarter, and the quarterback run was really good too. Brock Purdy moved the chains with his legs. So we saw a quarterback in command. We saw a quarterback comfortable. We saw an accurate QB, both protected and not protected. It was essentially everything that you like to see. And there were no glaring errors, at least, committed by Brock Purdy. I don't want to say no errors, because we'll have to check with Kyle Shanahan on that to see where he decided to go with the football. But as far as the casual naked eye goes, Brock Purdy did not make any mistakes that we saw yesterday. So the 49ers quarterback position, I wanted to start with that. It has looked excellent for San Francisco. And I think one thing that has really stood out to me over the course of the past month is that the depth at the quarterback position has really, really improved and gotten comfortable within the context of the offense. I would say that Josh Dobbs has shined, especially in these game situations. Like his college teammate, Juwan Jennings, Josh Dobbs is a gamer. I think he's been significantly better in the games. And a lot of that is because he can run and he can extend plays and he could shake off defenders as a big, strong frame. But I will say that the touchdown pass yesterday to Jacob Cowing was some of Josh Dobbs' strongest work. And, you know, I should probably play the video of Josh Dobbs with the touchdown ball yesterday in the locker room. I cut this up after the game in Las Vegas, and I think this is the perfect thing to play on the channel. So let me get this out. But the throw to Cowing was a pocket-based throw. It was, you know, delivered in between two defensive backs. I mean, it had to be thrown into a sliver. And it happened within the structure of the 49ers offense. And that kind of stuff is extremely, extremely important to Kyle Shanahan, more important than any of Josh Dobbs' touchdown runs. And there have been a couple of them already in the preseason. All right, take a look at what Josh Dobbs is doing with the touchdown pass, the ball that he threw to Jacob Cowing.
Well, my mom's birthday is on the 31st, and last week when I scored, I got really excited, threw the ball in the air, forgot to grab it. And I tried to get her touchdown ball if I score around her birthday, so I went to dinner last night, and I was like, all right, if I score, I'll make sure I won't forget the ball. So I had to grab it for her.
Josh Dobbs' mom, her name is Stephanie. On August 31st is her birthday, so she will be getting that present from her son, who has established himself as a good-looking quarterback in the 49ers system. So has Brandon Allen. They really like Brandon Allen. So when we look at the 49ers 53-man roster projection, then I think, and the left side of this dividing line right here, that's everybody that's on the 53 projection for me. The left side of that line, I think they're carrying three quarterbacks. Why? Because Brandon Allen played really, really well this preseason. I think Josh Dobbs played really well this preseason. Both have established themselves as worthy potential backups for Brock Purdy, but more than anything, both have established themselves as guys who I think would get poached by another team if the 49ers cut them, even if they're trying to bring them back to the practice squad. For example, Brian Callahan, who is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, used to be the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. Brandon Allen was Joe Burrow's backup. He was a quarterback for the Bengals prior to his time with the 49ers. Brian Callahan, I think, would sign Brandon Allen in a heartbeat if the 49ers cut Brandon Allen. Josh Dobbs has already been around the league as a QB2 last year, most famously, for the Arizona Cardinals, where he started while Kyler Murray was out, and then he headed over to the Minnesota Vikings, where he was able to pick up the offense very, very quickly, lead that dramatic win against the Atlanta Falcons. So both of these guys are worth their salt, at least as backup quarterbacks. Both of them have played well and improved within the 49ers system. Purdy has been excellent, as we saw yesterday and we saw before that in practice. The other two guys have been good. It is the most important position, and you stockpile at the most important position. The 49ers benefited from stockpiling a quarterback, especially in 2022, when they made sure that Brock Purdy stayed on the 53-man roster. But their organizational philosophy has been to emphasize depth at that quarterback position as a whole, not just in one season. And I think they can continue to do that. I've got Mordecai listed twice here on the right side of the line, which means practice squad eligible. If you like the Mordecai throw to Ronnie Bell yesterday, Mordecai might spin it more tightly than any of these 49ers quarterbacks, so I project to the 53, but it's just not going to be possible, I think, to fit four quarterbacks on the 53. So in that case, I think Mordecai is a good candidate for the practice squad, and based on everything I've gathered, the 49ers would be happy to keep him around at that quarterback position with some nice established depth. I think that after the entire month plus of training camp and the three games of the preseason, the 49ers are looking a whole lot better top to bottom in the quarterback room than they did before it. And that should be the goal of July and August. They got the job done there. How about running back? Because this was huge yesterday. Is running back the top group in the league? Our 53-man roster projection, as you can see there, Isaac Garendo, he's part of this running back room. Right here, you can see, obviously, Christian McCaffrey at the top. He's the best in football, rushing champion last year. People aren't talking about Elijah Mitchell much, but he looked good over the course of this training camp. He was dealing with the hamstring for part of it. Mitchell's always looked good when healthy for the 49ers. He's a complete back that might have value to other teams. I don't think until later in the season. Remember when they traded Jeff Wilson Jr. after they picked up Christian McCaffrey? They also were able to trade Matt Breida, who's back on the 90-man roster now in 2020. That was an offseason trade. Both Breida and Jeff Wilson Jr. went for fifth-round draft picks. So a lot of people are wondering, is somebody like Elijah Mitchell expendable? And tradable. Expendable, maybe, because they're loaded at the position now and they're relatively healthy at the position now, although that could change. But is he tradable at this very moment? Because there's still a lot of healthy running backs around the league. The season hasn't had a chance to take a toll. I think if you trade Elijah Mitchell, it's probably more of Jeff Wilson Jr. timing in the middle of the season once running backs start getting hurt and once teams really need a plug-and-play veteran to keep their dreams alive. So I think that Mitchell and Mason are 2A and 2B and vice versa. You could put Mason as 2A and Mitchell's 2B, but Mason is really impressed. I mean, he's running so, so well right now, so powerfully, and obviously is catching the football better as well. So he's on the 53-man roster with Mitchell Mason. And then Garendo made his presence felt yesterday. I think he's ideal for the new kick return rule. And I got a big article coming out tomorrow on Isaac Garendo that I got from the 49ers locker room after talking to him yesterday. But 93-yard kick return, he told me that he probably ran 140 yards on that play. Remember I estimated it was going to be well over 100 yesterday because he shoots like a cannonball out of a cannon down that sideline for the first, 50 or so yards, maybe 40 yards, showing off the 4.33 speed. And then he cuts in diagonally across the field. And football fields are 53 1/3 yards wide. And he doesn't get tackled until the 5. So Isaac estimated that he ran about 140 yards on the play, which is why he got a little bit tired there toward the end of it. But early in that run, you saw the 4.33 speed. Over the past 20 years, and this is a stat that I should repeat a lot because it's so good, there have only been two players enter the NFL over the past two decades to run a 4.33 or faster and also weigh 220 pounds or more. One of those guys is DK Metcalf, and one of those guys is Isaac Guerrero. It's about staying healthy for Isaac Guerrero. He missed a lot of time at Wisconsin before he transferred to Louisville. And the culprit for some of that missed time were two hamstring injuries, which is what kept him out of most of training camp this year. But he got healthy. He stayed patient. He's obviously going to make the 53. And I think he's the 49ers leader in the clubhouse for those kick returns. I do think they could fit somebody like Cody Schrader on the practice squad. Somebody like Patrick Taylor Jr. also ran really well. If you have any thoughts on the 49ers running back position, I think they're tremendously deep. If you think that the 49ers running backs, the deepest group in the league, go ahead and leave a comment. Give me a thumbs up, or you can give me a thumbs down if you don't think that they are. On that note, you know, if you like the 49ers quarterback depth, give me a thumbs up too. And I'll take a look at all your comments. I'll see what you guys are talking about, but I think between QB and running back, this team is looking good. The roster cut down. Now, we have clues from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in the past. They have always carried four running backs plus Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, on their 53-man roster. So I would expect no different this year. McCaffrey, Mitchell, Mason, and Guerrero are your four running backs, and obviously Juszczyk is your fullback. And why don't we take this as an opportunity to acknowledge how important Kyle Juszczyk is to this football team. I hear way too much garbage of people saying, oh, it's just a fullback. Spend the extra $2 million on Brandon Ayuk or a different position. That first drive when the 49ers ran to the left and it got blown up in the backfield and Braden Willis was in trying to play fullback because Kyle Juszczyk had the day off, you see how difficult some of the blocking assignments are for Kyle Juszczyk or whoever's playing fullback in the 49ers system. And Kyle Juszczyk is the starter, and he's the guy that successfully handles those blocking assignments. So he's the one that should get credit, because Braden Willis got absolutely swallowed up on his attempt there early in the football game. Janarius Robinson was the defensive lineman who was able to just maul Braden Willis, and then obviously he was able to get into the backfield for tackle for loss. The thing derailed an entire 49ers drive. So there's that. Derails the whole drive, and it just so happens to come at a spot where Kyle Juszczyk has for years taken on bigger defensive linemen, taken on tough angles, but gotten the job done for the 49ers. They're obviously going to have him back for week one. How about the receiver room? I think this is a top-end group with Ayuk. I tweeted that it's the best in the league with Ayuk, not without with Ayuk. Some people disagree with that. I think that, you know, this is all just a performative debate. It you know, I'll put the top end or the best receiving group in the league at the bottom of the screen, and we know they're for sure one of the best. The rest of it is a subjective opinion. But the six receivers that I see making this football team are Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley, Ricky Pearsall, and Jacob Cowing. They're trying to get Pearsall's shoulder healthy, which is obviously a big push for the 49ers, and they're trying to make sure that Brandon Ayuk ends his hold in. But if you have those two contributing, you've already gotten a ton out of Deebo Samuel. You know what Juwan Jennings is, and you know who Juwan Jennings is, and he's a really, really solid blocker and good separator with reliable hands. Chris Conley, another extremely reliable player who could play the gunner position for the punt team. Ricky Pearsall's looked excellent in his limited time, so you've got to get that shoulder right if you're the 49ers, but he can definitely contribute. And Jacob Cowing, the 49ers' lower pick at wide receiver, well, yesterday he was even running in-breaking routes. I mean, he was coming back to the football. It's not just go routes for Cowing, the speedster. I think he's running a full route tree, including the slant, the comeback pattern. He's a good player. And he's really shown out here over the last couple weeks of 49ers training camp. As far as guys that I don't have projected to make the team, Danny Gray, I think Jacob Cowing is doing everything the 49ers wanted out of Danny Gray and more, and he's younger. Trent Taylor, we can talk about practice squad for Trent Taylor because he gives you a higher floor, especially at that punt returner position. Jacob Cowing, by the way, has been excellent at both practice and in the games at punt returner, so that helps make the Taylor signing a little bit more redundant, but you still need depth on the practice squad, and I think the 49ers will certainly bring back at least one of these veterans in the position group as depth. There's Robbie Chosen, who I think might be a good practice squad candidate, just given his sheer speed. Scored on the go ball the other day at practice. Tay Martin, he fumbled yesterday. That wasn't as good. Ronnie Bell, I thought, was a mixed bag for San Francisco. Seems like he's bobbling a lot of catches, even if he's making them. But he is blocking his ass off, and he is also punt returning his ass off. And I will say that Ronnie Bell looks a lot more comfortable at punt returner than he once did. And Jontre Kirkland rounds out that 49ers receiving room. Let me get some water here. We're going to move on to the 49ers offensive line. This is going to be good stuff. Looking forward to this one because this, to me, is one of the two biggest question marks on this team. I think that tackle is a big question mark for the 49ers, and that's even if and when Trent Williams returns. Because as you can see here, Williams is shaded in blue due to the holdout, just like I have Brandon Ayuk shaded in blue up here due to the hold-in. But with no Williams, you're starting Jalen Moore. And Jalen Moore has given up more pressure than anybody over the course of this 49ers preseason. Aaron Banks is currently hurt. So yesterday we saw the tandem on the left side of Jalen Moore and Nick Zakel, who's filling in for Aaron Banks, who's the broken pinky. He's expected to be back around week one. Jake Brendel, I think, has been shaky over the past year, and he's dealing with a knee tendonitis now at center. Dominic Pooney, well, that's one of the success stories right now as a rookie. He's looking really strong. And Colton McKivitz, well, he's been Colton McKivitz. He's not been great in pass protection for the 49ers. You don't want to run too many judgments into the preseason. I think that Dominic Pooney can and will make somebody like Jake Brendel, can and will make somebody like Colton McKivitz better, but he can and will make somebody like Jake Brendel better with his awareness, with the way that he's helped out, with obviously his quickness, the really fast short shuttle, the slide from side to side. So that's the front line for the 49ers. But I see McKivitz as a question mark. I mean, the interception play where Purdy threw it and it bounced off of Brandon Ayuk, that was a clean beat of Colton McKivitz. It wasn't good. 49ers had to get better there. Dominic Pooney has beaten out Spencer Burford, who's been hurt with the broken hand. And John Feliciano is now hurt with a knee injury for the starting right guard spot. But he's also going to have to prove himself that he can do this at the NFL level, starting against really good competition against the Jets. Jake Brendel, like I said, has been an decently effective center for the 49ers, especially 2 years ago. But the play regressed last year. So then you ask, who's his backup? I think it's Nick Zakel. But, Nick has also been cross-training here at the guard position because the 49ers have had some injuries. So that's going to be really, really interesting to me. I think an important name to watch this year is Ben Bartsch, who the 49ers poached off of Jacksonville's practice squad last year. He is a player that's full of potential for that interior for San Francisco. There he is at the left guard spot. A lot of people asking how Drake Nugent and Jarrett Kingston are doing. The answer is very, very well. Maybe I could find this tweet for you because I was able to cover the pass blocking performances of both 49ers rookie drafted offensive linemen. And then on top of that, we also can look at the undrafted rookie free agent in Drake Nugent out of Stanford and then Michigan. All right, let's see. Where is this? Here we go. This is going to also go up on the screen. And, oh, I already put it up. Great. That's just a screenshot, Mark. Sorry about that. But I have this ready for you. Pass protection over the preseason for the 49ers draftees. Dominic Pooney, two pressures given up over 58 snaps. Jarrett Kingston, two pressures given up over 85 snaps. Both good enough for PFF pass blocking efficiency scores over 98. It's a promising start for both players. Now on to the regular season. So Pooney has actually helped the right guard position become a much smaller question mark. Somebody like Jared Kingston, I think, is well on his way toward doing that too, with how good he's been in pass protection over a bigger load of snaps than Dominic Pooney. So look, my question is, what's happening behind Colton McKivitz? What's going to happen with Colton McKivitz over the course of this season? 49ers hope that he enjoys an uptick in play, but I want to know what the depth is going to do. I thought that both Chris Hubbard and Brandon Parker got beaten last night, although the 49ers are still working them at non-natural positions. Hubbard has had to work at left tackle. Brandon Parker has had to work at right tackle, even though they're not used to those spots as much. They don't prefer them as much. And the reason the 49ers are doing that is, I think, the audition for the swing tackle role. And I think they're, you know, given his struggles, there is a chance that Jalen Moore does not make this 53-man roster. But then the 49ers have to be efficient with who they add into the mix. And efficiency could come through guys who can deliver at multiple positions, either left tackle or right tackle. That's what a swing tackle is all about. You take up only one roster spot, but you can play on both sides. I've got Moore. I've got Ben Bartsch. I've got Nick Zakel. I've got Burford all making the football team. I think the 49ers might think differently than me in this case. They have a little bit more intel, but do they throw in somebody like Brandon Parker, Chris Hubbard, who have that tackle versatility that could play either on the left side or the right side? That is the big question. We shall see. All right, I'm going to be right back. I'm not going anywhere, so you could stay right here. Just have to go get a drink, and I will be back in a couple minutes. I'm very, very tired after traveling to Vegas, doing the game, and traveling back. So 53-man projection is going to continue in just a second. I'll be right back, and I'll put this up onto the screen for you to study. All right, I am back. Camera coming on here in just a second. We're going to move on to the defense of the 53-man projection. I just did 10 push-ups as I got my water, so it was good. Vegas wears you out, even if you're not out clubbing and day partying. I wasn't, I swear. I went to In-N-Out Burger, which was right by the stadium. And it's the first time I've been to an all-outdoor seating In-N-Out Burger. I think that's how they started in Baldwin Park, suburb of Los Angeles, back in, what was it, the 30s for In-N-Out Burger? A long time ago. They're coming up on 100 years. I think that's how it began, back when hamburgers cost like 10 cents. but I didn't know that was still a thing. But outside Allegiant Stadium, there's an outdoor only in and out. So you order up at the window and then you go about your merry day or merry evening yesterday. So I was able to get my double-double and then I got back to the hotel and now I'm here breaking down the 49ers 53-man roster. All right, let's get back to it. Lombardi is back, so I could take that text title off. Defensive line. So I think that the biggest question on this team on the offensive side of the ball is the tackle position and the depth there. You know, I didn't like what Hubbard and Brandon Parker brought to the table this preseason. I thought they got beaten too much, and I thought Jalen Moore got beaten too much, and Trent Williams is not there, and there's Colton McKivitz, and we obviously know about his struggles. So offensive tackle seems to be a bigger issue than the interior offensive line, which is interesting to me because that's flipped on its head. I think that the interior offensive line has traditionally been the weaker spot for the 49ers, but at the defensive line, it's a similar story. The exterior line is struggling more than the interior line now. And the 49ers just saw injuries to Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. I could even shade both of these guys right now in pink, which is, Gross-Matos was the wrong color there. But this signifies the issue that the 49ers are dealing with. And I could zoom in on this too. If this is the first one that you guys really probably need to see. You could click on the link that I put in the chat section. But this is the 49ers' projected 8-man defensive line rotation. Bosa, Collins, Hargrave, Floyd across the alpha unit, Beal, Elliott, Givens, and Gross-Matos across the Bravo unit. And there's the Turbo unit, which is your NASCAR package. But Alpha and Bravo are both listed here for the 49ers. So that means, okay, the top defensive end is Nick Bosa. Number two defensive end is Leonard Floyd, who had a nice cleanup sack yesterday. He's the specialist in cleanup sacks. He brings a nice chase skill set to the table. The guy really knows how to pursue. And Yetur Gross-Matos is your third defensive end who could slide inside, gives you nice needed versatility. And then Robert Beal Jr., I think as of right now, is the 49ers' fourth defensive end. We are still waiting on the MRI results and news of that on Floyd and Gross-Matos. But assuming you don't have those guys, all of a sudden it's Bosa, and then where do you go to? Robert Beal, okay. Alex Barrett, practice squad guy. Jonathan Garvin, just picked up. And Sam, and I call him Sam O because I really struggle with his last name. But Sam O, who had a nice sack for the 49ers down the stretch yesterday, might have preserved the tie in that game. Big sack of Carter Bradley on that final drive. But Alex Barrett, what, two or three pressures all preseason? I mean, Barrett has a lot, but Barrett has more than that. Barrett's got like seven or eight pressures all preseason, but Robert Beal Jr. managed only two or three during the preseason. So, and you know, Garvin actually looked okay, but he played a lot more the week before. He might be more of a case of fresh legs. Gross-Matos and Floyd both looked good when they did play. They just went down yesterday, and the 49ers hope that these injuries aren't serious. Even if they're not, this is a reminder that it's sketchy there at that position depth-wise, and we'll see what the 49ers do. Maybe they pick up somebody off the waiver wire come the cutdowns this week. Maybe it's Alex Barrett's season. He's been playing really well for the 49ers after putting in all that time on the practice squad 5 years. So that's a big TBD, and I think it is the biggest concern on this team. Linebacker position, I would say that the 49ers are strong even without Dre Greenlaw. So Greenlaw, as you can tell, going to that PUP list to begin the season, almost certainly. Warner didn't play last night, but he's awesome. I thought Devondre Campbell made a really nice stop early in the game, pursuing to the sideline. And I think he's the 49ers number two right now. I think they're still looking to see some more polished play from guys like D. Winters and Jalen Graham, even though they have improved. The third linebacker spot, because of that, I think is probably going to either Demetrius Flanagan Foles or Curtis Robinson. It was Flanagan Foles who started the game yesterday. So there's a lot of talent here. The room is strong. You can have arguments about who should be the third linebacker and who should start at that second spot till the cows come home. But the truth of the matter is they have a lot of good quality players, which not every NFL team can say. That includes Tatum Bethune, who, as you could see, I have on the outside looking in of my roster picture, but he's been excellent against the run, albeit against second and third team guys. He's been in the right place at the right time. He's got a nose for the ball, and he can hit. He's not afraid to hit, and he can hit. And to me, that might be enough for a 53-man roster spot, but you could see a lot of the hard decisions that I'm having to make all this work. Finally, the DB room. The deepest of the Shanahan-Lynch era, at least at cornerback, it is for sure. Charvarius Ward, Yadam, coming back from the ankle, Diomedre Lenore. Rock Ya-Sin made some nice pass breakups yesterday. I thought Renardo Green got a little bit more picked on yesterday than before, but he also made some nice plays. For a veteran team looking to win now, you probably have Rock Ya-Sin ahead of Renardo Green on the depth chart, but that could just be determined on a week-by-week basis, depending on how much Renardo's impressing the 49ers. And you've also got Darrell Luter Jr. And that was one of the cool plot twists yesterday, right? Carter Bradley went to South Alabama. Darrell Luter Jr. went to South Alabama as well. In 2022, these two guys overlapped on the team at South Alabama. And that was probably, I have to ask him, I didn't get a chance to talk to Darrell Luter Jr. in the locker room. That was probably an opportunity for Darrell to pick off Carter Bradley, and it was an opportunity for Bradley to beat him with a touchdown pass. Well, yesterday on fourth down in the red zone, Luter, using that big, strong, long frame, was able to intercept Carter Bradley on the fade pass. Some cool college connection there. But Luter's going to make this team. What I wonder is, does Samuel Womack make the team? He gave up the touchdown yesterday. It looked like he was sleepwalking a bit on the touchdown, but then he had three pass breakups. They don't have to worry about Ambry Thomas. They can use one of their two injury return designations that are new this year at the time of the cutdown to carry him with eligibility to return because he has the broken forearm. I don't think Chase Lucas makes the team, although he was a really good gunner for Detroit last year. Just illustrates how good this 49ers roster is. The NFC runner-ups, the Detroit Lions, were able to fit players on their roster. The 49ers, I don't think, are going to be able to fit this coming season. So Womack is a question mark for me. There's also, there's Ward, Yadam, Lenore, Yark Ya-Sin, Renardo Green, and Darrell Luter Jr. If you take Womack, you might only be able to take three safeties because you're probably assuming that Talanoa Hufanga starts the season on PUP. There also is a chance that Talanoa returns to practice this season, though. And I talk about the cornerback room being the deepest of the Shanahan Lynch era. I would say that safety might have a few more question marks. Jair Brown forced that fumble early in this game. We've been impressed with Malik Mustafa over the course of camp. There's obviously George Odom, who's a special teams ace. But if Hufanga's out, who's that fourth safety? Is it Tracy Walker III, the former Lion again? So they have two former Lions DBs, Tracy Walker and Chase Lucas. Is Tracy ready for a practice squad role where he can be called up until the 49ers hit a better health situation? Or are they going to try to use one of those practice squad spots on somebody like Jalen Mahoney, the safety out of Vanderbilt, who has made some plays for them over the course of practice and this training camp? Interesting times indeed for the 49ers. The specialists are Tabor Pepper, the long snapper, Jake Moody, the kicker, and Mitch Wishnowsky, the punter. Now, if Wishnowsky continues to be hurt, then Presley Harvin III has been the backup punter. Really good day against the Saints. He had four downed inside the 20. Not as good yesterday as a punt was taken back for a touchdown. So we'll see how that goes. As far as kick returners go, maybe I should change this down here. This is kick return. Deebo Samuel in there. I think Isaac Garendo is now the 49ers' top kick returner, and we could put Deebo Samuel in that second spot. But I think that the athletic profile for Garendo, as you saw in the 93-yarder yesterday, fits perfectly into that kick return mix. And then punt returner, we're putting Jacob Cowing in there, and we'll have Ronnie Bell Well, I don't know if Ronnie Bell makes the 53, but we can continue listing him as backup with Kyle Juszczyk and his great ability to field punts being the emergency option. Got to shade Isaac Guerrero in our rookie green. As soon as we do that, the depth chart will be up to date. There you go. So we're waiting on news for Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. But that is your 49ers 53-man roster projection. I'm going to be on later to answer all your questions. I'll give this to you right now in case you can read it. This is up on The Athletic. You can go search for it. It's in the description. As you can see, the 49ers 53-man roster projection did Jacob Cowing and Isaac Guerrero secure their roles. Good stuff. Everybody, thanks for watching. We will talk to you very soon.